Hello, and thank you for tuning in this evening. We appreciate your logging on to the East Albertville Church of Christ website or for going to the YouTube channel. We appreciate this. We appreciate the time that you will devote to us, we hope, in our study this evening. Thank you so much. We've been doing a series of studies on Wednesday concerning answering the religious errors of our family, friends, and neighbors. So oftentimes we hear statements made by those of our family, friends, and neighbors, and not always are those statements in harmony with God's will. And that's what we've been focusing our study on, the different things that it would be possible for us to hear coming from others that we are around. And tonight our lesson, we're in eight of our study, and that is the statement that we often do hear, that the Sabbath keeping is still binding today. So that's what we want to look at, into whether or not the statement that we do hear, whether it is a truthful statement or is it something that the scriptures do not teach. And that's what we always want to focus our conclusions on, is not our opinions, not our previous practice, not some religious tradition that may have been a part of the church we're a member of, but look strictly at what the scriptures teach. You know, there are a number of religious groups around the world who insist that the Sabbath is to be observed as the day for Christians to worship. And some seemingly are so infatuated with the Sabbath that they go to the point of even saying that Sunday is the Christian Sabbath. So we find that that has been a term that has been coined over the past several years, and something I'm sure you probably heard the statement yourself. But let us understand that Sunday cannot be the Sabbath. And the reason for that is a statement found in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 10. Which states, the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. So that clearly defines what day we're talking about when we talk about the Sabbath. It is the seventh day. And you know, anyone that's familiar with a calendar knows that the seventh day of the week is Saturday. And Sunday, which some want to have to be the Christian Sabbath, that's the first day of the week. So truly, certainly we are familiar enough to know that Saturday is the seventh day, Sunday is the first day. There are many arguments that are set forth in an attempt to justify Christians today keeping the Sabbath. And by no means can we look at all of these arguments that are set forth. Our time just simply will not allow it. But we want to look at just a few in what time we do have. One of those arguments that are often heard is that there are some religions who claim, and they base this on Genesis chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3, that because God sanctified the seventh day, that makes it binding upon all of mankind. So let's look at Genesis 2, verses 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth and all of the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all of his work which God had created and made. Let us understand, having read these three verses, that what we have here is just simply a statement of facts. Because it's not until we read in Exodus chapter 16 that we see that the Sabbath is at that point commanded to be kept. So let's understand, Genesis 2 is just a statement of fact as to what God did. God does not bind the Sabbath. He does not command the Sabbath to be observed until we read here in Exodus 16. Let's pick up our reading with verse 23. Then he said to them, "This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning." So they laid it up till morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Then Moses said, "Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none." Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. Let us understand that what we have here in the context of Exodus chapter 16 is God giving the children of Israel instructions regarding the manna that he was miraculously supplying to them. They've come out of Egypt, they're on their way to Canaan, and God is providing them with manna to eat. This manna would appear of the mornings for 6 days. They were to gather enough on the sixth day to carry them over for the Sabbath, the seventh day. So all of the context here is in regards, and that's what we see when we back up to verse 4. Because from reading verse 4, this occurrence was given as a test to see if the children of Israel would obey the commandments of God. Notice what verse 4 says. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people will go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not.'" And of course, what we read in those verses 23 through 30 was that they did not. They went out on the Sabbath looking for manna, and it was not to be found. And we see the Lord rebuked them by saying that they have not remained in their place, but they have refused to keep my commandments and my laws. It's obvious that the laws, or the particulars, we might say the rules, governing the observing of the Sabbath, apparently were not binding because, as we said and as we see, there were some that gathered manna on the Sabbath and they were not punished. Notice what we have in that same 16th chapter, verses 27 and 28. "Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day together, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, 'How long did you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws?'" So there's no punishment inflicted here on this occasion, because as we said a moment ago, it's apparent from verse 4 that this was a test. But when we do see the particulars and the rules specifically stated concerning the observance of the Sabbath, then what we take note of is that there was a man that was stoned to death when he picked up sticks on the Sabbath. And we read about that in Numbers chapter 15. Notice, beginning with verse 32. "Now while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. They put him under guard because it had not been explained what they should do to him. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'The man shall surely be put to death. All of the congregation will stone him with stones outside the camp.' So, as the Lord commanded Moses, all of the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died." So, but what we see is even this event shows us that the Sabbath had not been in observance for a very long time. Because again, what that verse 34 said, it was because it had not been explained what should be done to him. So here's an observance of something that has not been carried on for years, it's not been carried on for generations, or else they would have known clearly, Moses would have known clearly what to have done. But instead, God had to specifically at this point explain to them and tell them what to do about this man. There's another argument that some people make, and that is some want to say that the word remember is found in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8, that word remember shows the Sabbath was already being observed and therefore is binding on all of mankind today. Well, the command, as is stated in Exodus 20 and verse 8, remember the Sabbath day, means that they were to remember the Sabbath from that day forward. In fact, how we know that is because in Exodus chapter 13, in regards to a completely different matter, here's what we read in verse 3 that God commands. Remember this day in which you went out of Egypt. And that, of course, when you read the context of Exodus 13, was in the matter of the Passover. The Passover was that which involved the last plague that was brought upon Egypt. The 10th plague that finally resulted in Pharaoh releasing the children of Israel to flee, to go away from Egypt. God, of course, said that there would be the death of the firstborn. That was the last plague. But for the children of Israel to escape the death of their firstborn, God commanded that the blood of a lamb should be put over the doorpost and lintels of the houses of the Israelites. And that night they were to remain inside those houses that had the blood on the doorpost and lintels. And God said that when the death angel passed over, that the firstborn of the children of Israel would be spared. And they were. This was the plague that brought the release of the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage. And in regards to the angel passing over the house of the Israelites that had the blood, now we have God saying, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt. See, it's the word remember, just as it was in remember the Sabbath. But it's clear, very obvious here in Exodus 13 and verse 3, that they had never observed the Passover prior to God having commanded it, as he's commanded it here. So again, what we see is that this word, remember, is a word that means that they were to remember it from that day forward. They were to remember the Sabbath from that day forward that God commanded it. They were to remember the Passover from that day forward after that God had commanded it. Another argument, and this will be the last one due to the lack of time that we have. There are some who say that the Sabbath is binding today because it was a perpetual covenant, and that the word forever is used to refer to how long that it was to last. And one of the verses that often is used in support of this idea is Exodus 31. Let's read verse 16 and 17. Therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. We see the word perpetual and the word forever in this verse, or in these verses. But what perpetual and what forever means is age lasting, or it is that which is in reference to a period of time that's indefinite, but certainly not ongoing, on and on and on. And we see that even in this verse here. Notice back up in verse 16 that God said that you're to observe the Sabbath throughout the generations. So that gives us the definition of perpetual. That gives us the definition of forever. That are the two words that appear in this verse. Think about it like this. If the Sabbath is still binding today, because it is referred to as being perpetual or forever, then what about the Passover? In Exodus chapter 12, verse 14, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." So there's our word. And it's used in reference to the observance of the Passover that we spoke about just a moment ago. And if the Sabbath is still binding today, then what about the Levitical priesthood? Here's what we read in Exodus 29 and verse 9. "And thou shalt gird them with girdles, Aaron and his sons, and put the bonnets on them, and the priest's office shall be theirs for a perpetual statute. And thou shalt consecrate Aaron and his sons." So here the Levitical priesthood, that is the priest that served under the law of Moses that were chosen from the tribe of Levi, as God commanded it to be, it was an ordinance forever. Then too, if the Sabbath is binding today because of the terms perpetual and forever, then what about the burning of incense when we read Exodus 30 and verse 8? "And when Aaron lights the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense on it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations." And one more. The Feast of Booths, or as it sometimes is referred to as the Feast of Tabernacles. Listen to what we read in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 41 and 42. "You shall thus celebrate it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall live in booths for 7 days. All the native born in Israel shall live in booths." So, you see, if we are to observe the Sabbath day today because it was a perpetual covenant, why wouldn't the same hold true for these things as well? Why do we not burn incense today? It was a perpetual covenant. Why do we not still have the priesthood of the Levites? It was a perpetual covenant. Why do we not still observe the Feast of Booths? Why do we still not observe the Passover? All of those things were perpetual. All of those things, the word forever, was spoken in reference to them. So like we always do in our study, is we want to focus on the most important thing. And that is, what do the scriptures teach? And you know, when we give answer to religious error, whether it's coming from our family, our friends, or our neighbors, we need to be sure, as Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, that we need to be ready to give a defense of the things that we believe, of the hope that is in us, with meekness and fear. We need to give a defense, and the only defense that will stand is, again, that which we find in the scriptures. So what do the scriptures teach concerning Sabbath keeping still being bound today? Well, of the Ten Commandments, we have those listed in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17, and again in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 1 through 21. In the listing of those Ten Commandments that are given, there is one which is not reinstated in the New Testament. And that one out of the ten that is not reinstated is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We need to stop and we need to give serious thought to that fact. It's not to be found in any book, any chapter, or any verse in the New Testament. So, that being the case, therefore, the conclusion that we need to understand is there is no command in the New Testament which binds the Sabbath on Christians today. Instead, what we do have is in the command to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy, we find that the scriptures tells us that that was given to Israel, not Christians. In Deuteronomy 5, here's what we read in verses 2 and 3. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, those who are here today, all of us who are alive. This is Moses speaking to the children of Israel at Mount Horeb. We're probably more familiar with the word Sinai. This is where Moses leads the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. This is where Moses goes up onto the mountain and receives the law, and the Ten Commandments are engraved in stone, and Moses comes down from the mountain. We know, of course, he comes down the first time when the children of Israel have given themselves to idolatry. Moses breaks the stones. Punishment comes upon the children of Israel. Moses goes back to the mountain and returns again with the tables of stone as before. So this is the covenant. This is the covenant that God made. But who did he make this covenant with? Notice it says he made a covenant with us in Horeb. So this covenant, including the Ten Commandments, because what we go on and read here in Deuteronomy 5 is the fact that the Sabbath is specifically mentioned in verses 12 through 15. So there's no mistaking as to what this covenant was. It was the covenant that included the Ten Commandments. It was the covenant that included the one of the Ten Commandments regarding the Sabbath. So this covenant, including the keeping of the Sabbath, was not given to anyone other than the Israelites. And notice what that verse said in verse 3, not even to their forefathers, who would have been Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Notice how he said, the Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us. And also, in Exodus chapter 31, in verses 16 and 17, the Lord says, therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. Now notice verse 17. It is a sign between me, that is God, and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Friends, it's certainly true that in the New Testament, Jesus and his disciples kept the Sabbath. Jesus and his disciples observed the Sabbath. We see them doing that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But let us understand, let us remember and understand that Jesus had not yet died. And when he died, we know something very significant took place. We dealt with this in our lesson last Wednesday. And if you had not had an opportunity to listen to that lesson, then maybe at some time in the near future you will go back and listen to that lesson where we talked about whether the Old Testament or the law of Moses is still binding. And because what we found was what we read in Colossians chapter 2. Notice what is stated here. Jesus had not yet died, and Jesus had not yet nailed the law, that covenant, to the cross. It says, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Then notice he says, so let no one judge you in food or in drink or in regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come. But the substance is of Christ. See, the law of Moses that contained those Ten Commandments, including the law of regarding the observing of the Sabbath, it was taken out of the way, it was nailed to the cross. And we know it specifically refers to that law of Moses, because he says, let no one judge you in food or in drink. You recall, under the law of Moses, there were certain things that were restricted for them to eat in regards to certain meats that they could not eat. So now, under the law that has been nailed to the cross, let no man judge you in food or in drink, or in the festival. Remember, we talked about the festival of the booths, festival of the tabernacle. We talked about the Passover feast. Now, let no man judge you regarding the festival, or a new moon, which was very significant under the law. And then there's our word, the Sabbath. Why? Because all of these things are a shadow. We know what a shadow is. A shadow is a mere representation. It's not, as it says, the substance. The law of Moses was a shadow. The substance is Christ. Another passage we need to consider. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 7. But if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stone, is there any misunderstanding as to what was written and engraven in stone than those tablets that Moses brought down with him from Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb? So if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away? So here we see that the law of Moses was not an everlasting law. It was to be taken away. It's to be done away. Friends, Christians are never commanded to keep the Sabbath. Neither do we have a single New Testament example of where Christians kept the Sabbath. And yet, many who profess to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, they're not doing so. They're not doing it according to what God commanded. I want us to look at just but a few of the things that are involved in remembering the Sabbath and keeping it holy that God commanded of the children of Israel. There was to be no work done, and we don't have time to read these verses, but they're there for you to write down. As we said, you could, at the beginning of our study and even afterwards, you can go to the live feed on the church's website and download a copy of this lesson. So here are the verses that show that one of the requirements that God forbidded under the observance of the Sabbath day was that there were to be no work. And an Israelite, you recall, we mentioned a moment ago, that was found picking up sticks on the Sabbath day, was put to death. And that we had in Numbers 15. In fact, Jeremiah even made the remark that they could not even carry a load because that would be classified as work on the Sabbath day. Another thing is there was to be no cooking. No boiling, no baking. They couldn't even kindle a fire. If the fire was already kindled and burning, they could maintain it. But if the fire was not, they could not start a fire on the Sabbath day. And here are the verses. They were commanded to offer two lambs every Sabbath day. Numbers chapter 28, verse 9. And death was required of those who violated these laws concerning the observance of the Sabbath. And if you did download the copy of the outline, I did a typo error here. I think I had Exodus 31 verses 14 through 14. It should be Exodus 31, verses 14 and 15. Friends, I know of no religious group or nation today that keeps all of these regulations. Do you? And even those who claim to observe the Sabbath day do not do so in what God commanded the Israelites to do, to observe it. So consider this. If they are not observing the Sabbath in the way that God commanded, are they in fact observing the Sabbath at all? That's a question that certainly deserves an answer. In the conclusion of our study, the day for Christians is the first day of the week. We know that this is the day when our Lord and our Savior arose from the dead. We read four accounts of that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It was on the first day of the week. It was on the day of Pentecost, which always fell on Sunday, when the church, the kingdom, was established. We read about that in Acts chapter 2. And we read about when the Pentecost occurred to know exactly what day it was on from the reading in Leviticus chapter 23. Two, the first day of the week was the day that early Christians worshiped God by partaking of the Lord's Supper, as the church in Troas did in Acts 20. And it was on the first day of the week that the church was commanded to lay by in store as God had prospered them, in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. And John made mention in the book of Revelation that the first day of the week was the Lord's day, and friends, not the Sabbath. God did not change the Sabbath day to Sunday. Instead, as we've already noted, he completely abolished the entire system of the law of Moses that required remembering the Sabbath. We won't read Colossians 2 because we've read it already. And whoever would bind the law of Moses on people today, the statement is made in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, that they have fallen from grace. And also Galatians chapter 5 and verse 3 says to try to bind the Sabbath, circumcision, or anything else that was required under the law of Moses makes a person a debtor to do the whole law. And that's what we need to keep in mind. As always, we close out our study with a answering of questions. One question: why did God command Israel to keep the Sabbath day? We saw that it was the Israelites that he commanded. Now it would be good for us to examine why. And we see the answer to why in Deuteronomy 5 and verse 15. It says, "Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath." Why did God command Israel to keep the Sabbath? It was for them to remember that they were a slave in Egypt. See, friends, that adds more evidence to the fact that we as Christians are not to observe the Sabbath day today, because we are not of that group of people that were enslaved in Egypt. This is why God commanded the observance of the Sabbath upon the children of Israel. The next question is Sunday, as people sometimes call it, is it the Christian Sabbath? Well, how can it be when the word Sabbath means seventh? And today, most folks who believe in the Christian Sabbath are referring to Sunday, the first day of the week. See, nothing could be more contradictory than to try and to say that the first is the seventh, or that the seventh is the first. Friends, it's just not so. What we see is that Sabbath is just another one of those words that the religious world has adopted a new meaning for besides the one that God has given. They intend the word to mean rest. And friends, where where is the Christian commanded to rest on any day? Our rest as a Christian is in hope. It's yet to come. It's not here on this earth. It's not on any given day of any week. In Hebrews chapter 4, let's close our study by looking at these 11 verses. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering into rest. See, it's a promise. It's a hope. Let us fear, lest any of you should seem to come short of it. The Hebrew writer is contrasting Christians with the children of Israel. And notice that as we read this. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all of his works, and again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disbelief, again he designates a certain day, saying in David, today after such a long time as it has been said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given him rest, then he would not have afterward spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his work, as God did from his. Let us, therefore, be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Friends, let us not be as the Israelites who failed the test of obedience. Let us be sure that we enter that rest, that eternal rest that is promised if we will faithfully obey and faithfully serve our God. I want to make it known that there is a book that is an extremely good book on this subject that we are studying this evening. The book is entitled, Shall We Keep the Sabbath Today? It's written by Brother Carol Sutton. If you'll give us your name and address, we would be more than glad to send you, free of charge, a copy of this book. It goes into much more detail than what we've just been able to do for the last 40 minutes on the program. If you would like to receive this, there are no strings attached. Just simply on the website or on the comment section of YouTube, just let us know. Give us your address, and we will make sure that you get a copy of this book. It will surely help you, no doubt, in answering this question of, must we keep the Sabbath today? So please keep this in mind. Also, Lord willing, next Wednesday night, we will look at Lesson 9. And that lesson will be looking at a statement that we hear of our family, friends, and neighbors, that God still speaks apart from the Bible. So many people believe that. So we want to examine it according to what the Scriptures teach. And again, if there's any comment that you might have, if there is any way that we can assist you in your study of God's Word, then certainly at the website there is a contact us that you can click on. You can ask any Bible question that you like. You can make any comment that you like. And certainly we'd be glad to hear from you. If you're on the YouTube channel, then there is a comment section. And you can again leave any comment you have, pro or con, about the program. And if you have a Bible question, then certainly feel free to give it there. But on both of those, if you'd like to receive a free copy of this book, again, give us your address and we'll send it to you free of charge. I want you to keep in mind that next Lord's Day at 10:30, we will be back with you on this website as well as the YouTube channel at 10:30. And then Brother Tim Davis will be on this website and YouTube channel at 5 o'clock on Sunday evening during the Bible study from the Book of Romans. So please keep all of this in mind. Thank you so much for tuning in, for watching, and we hope that we'll be able to have this opportunity to do so again. Thank you so much.